we've been ensconced in Browns quarterback talk. Now it's time to look both here in Cleveland and around the league with our regular Wednesday guest, hump day guest, Albert Breer, MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's been a week. There were some good things. There were some bad things. We've gotten into a lot here. We'll start with this. We've had now countless guests come on this station and say, like a hypothetical, if Jacoby Brissett is 9-2, that it's his job week 13 against Houston. Do you think that would be true if that scenario unfolded over the next 8 weeks?
I think it'll make things interesting. I think it will give you some flexibility in bringing Deshaun back and making sure that he's ready to go. I don't see a scenario where Deshaun's not going to be the quarterback in December. I mean, like I understand, like, you know, things can change over time and everything else, but you know, my feeling is they've been able to do a lot over the first 3 weeks of the season due to their ability to run the ball, which is pretty remarkable when you consider the circumstances. And Jacoby's done, I mean, this is why Jacoby's going to last 15 years in the NFL, guys. You know, this is why he's going to make, you know, $30, $40 million as an NFL player, because he can be, and it's probably going to be more than that because he made a ton that 1 year with the Colts. But, you know, he can be the guy who, if things are right around him, can kind of keep the bus on the road, you know. And I think he's done a great job of doing that over the first 3 weeks. And, you know, I think that he's obviously had a ton of help from that offensive line in the run game. Amari Cooper's come up big for him, came up big for him against Pittsburgh. But do I think, like, this is going to turn into, like, a controversy? Right now, I don't see that.
Albert, obviously the news comes down this week that Myles Garrett was involved in a car accident. He's okay. You know, not non-life-threatening injuries, of course, and his passenger's okay as well, which is great news. Do you think he'll play on Sunday, and should he play on Sunday?
I mean, it sounded to me like yesterday, like they'd probably hold him out this coming Sunday. Like he probably wouldn't play this Sunday. But the fact that there's even a chance, and I haven't gotten a chance to look at. Did he practice today? I didn't see that yet.
No.
Okay, so like the fact that like it'd even be on the board that he could practice that he could play this week is a real positive based on everything you hear about the accident and the way it happened and all the things that sort of, you know, could have happened and didn't happen. So it's great news that he'd even have a chance to play this week. But I know the Browns went into the week with the assumption that he wouldn't play. And, you know, the fact that he didn't practice today, I think, only adds to that. So I don't think this is going to be a long-term thing, or at least it doesn't sound like it's going to be a super long-term thing. You know, I think you can take some real positive from the fact that it was even a consideration. Like, you guys are even talking about the fact that he could play this week.
Albert Breer, MMQB with Nick and Dustin on Afternoon Drive. I think the question all of America wants to know, can Peyton Manning and Omaha Productions save the Pro Bowl, Albert?
You know, I think Peyton Manning's role in all of this is really interesting just because he was sort of the mayor of the Pro Bowl when he was a player. And Dustin, I'm sure you've heard these stories, but you know, back when the Pro Bowl was in Hawaii, like he was the guy who was holding court at the pool, you know, and he sort of took his role as like the de facto mayor of the Pro Bowl, like actually pretty seriously. Like he thought it was an important thing for players, for star players to sort of have this sort of thing, you know, where they could like hang out together, build relationships together, talk about issues together. Like he viewed that as like an actual important week in the calendar,
right?
Because it was the only occurrence where you'd have the elite of the league all together. And that was one reason why a few years ago he was trying to save it. So like, I think like it's fun to talk about Omaha Productions doing this and how does it relate to the Manning cast and all that different stuff. But this is a guy who actually cares about this sort of thing. And so I would think Manning being involved with this is probably going to lead to like a lot of elements about the Pro Bowl week being relationship building and being like, let's make sure that the star players get something out of this. Let's sort of make this like an elite of the elite type of thing, you know, like, and, you know, I think from that perspective, it's great because I think Peyton probably has a pretty good handle on what's going to draw people to participate in this, what's going to draw players to participate in this. And, you know, I think he has a very real interest in seeing to it that the players do participate and that the elite players are going to see this as a sort of, in the sort of way that he saw it all those years ago, where he viewed it as, again, like sort of a convention for the elite.
You know, people like really watch the Pro Bowl and they bet on it, even though it's a stupid bet. Like, they get ridiculous numbers.
Like, call one of those hotlines if you've been betting on the Pro Bowl, by the way.
Right. But my point is the numbers they get from a TV standpoint are insane. Do you think they'll still draw big numbers for these showcase events?
I mean, I don't know. I've always thought that they were better than the Pro Bowl, but, like, you know, history tells us, like, well, the truth is that, you know, that if you put an actual game on TV, it'll do better. Now, I would argue that, like, the promotion and the the time slot, all of that, like, the Pro Bowl, the game itself has always had, you know, more favorable conditions when it comes to that stuff than the other elements. But I don't know, guys. Like, I remember watching the quarterback challenge as a kid. I thought that was awesome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there were certain things that, you know, maybe like the casual fan didn't watch, but that I think, you know, for the more avid fan, you know, are really great, cool things to see, you know? And I think there's a lot of stuff that they can do creatively to bring people in, to get people to watch. I don't know if the numbers are going to be quite the same. I will say this too. I do think, for once, and it doesn't happen often, but for once, I think the NFL tried to look at this just from like a prestige standpoint rather than a revenue standpoint, in that I think it kind of got to the point where they were a little embarrassed with the product. And I think they felt like this product probably shouldn't be associated with what NFL football is. And, you know, I think it's sort of the same train of thought that they had with the preseason games, where it's, well, people expect a certain level, a certain level of excellence with the product that we're putting out, and we're not giving it to them with what we're putting on TV here. And, you know, if you take the, like, premise of it being a game out of it and just kind of make it a fun event, then you don't need to worry about that much at all.
Albert, some of the things you said about the NFL and how they feel about the quality of game of the Pro Bowl, some Broncos fans feel the same way about their offense right now.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett had to hire a former special teams coach to help him with clock management and game decisions. Do you think it's outside the realm of possibility that Nathaniel Hackett could be one and done in Denver?
I don't think it happens, but, you know, I'll say this in his defense. Like, I can give you guys a story on this. I did something 5 years ago where I brought Norv Turner with me on my training camp trip. It was the year he was out. Like, he had thought he was going to retire at that point. He wound up going back to Carolina after, but, you know, Norv had really kind of, you know, I think Norv had sort of, Norv wanted to kind of go with me on the trip and then, like, help people where he could help people. So, you know, we go to Sean McVay's first training camp in Los Angeles. And I said to Sean before we did this, I said, you can spend this hour however you want. Like, I just want to be a fly on the wall. We'll have a video camera in there. I want you guys to interact. And Sean thought about it. And Sean spent the entire hour. I'm not BSing here at all. The entire hour picking Norv's brain about how to balance game management and offensive play calling. And this is a guy who called offensive plays in Washington before, but he was like, because Norv had done that as a head coach before, he wanted to know everything he could know about how to balance those two things. Now, obviously, that speaks well of Sean, that he had the humility to understand where his blind spot would be. But I think it also sort of illustrates the challenge there is for first-year head coaches that go in and do that, and that you're so used to, I'm just involved with one side of the ball, and sometimes my back is turned to the field when that side of the ball is on the sideline. And, you know, I think that there's that sort of thing that's an adjustment for all of these guys. Unfortunately for Nathaniel, like, he had a bad moment in his first game, and that moment happened to be on national television on Monday night in a standalone game, and everyone was talking about it. next day. It was the last thing we saw coming out of week one, and then it sort of compounded the timeout issue in week two. So I think he'll be fine. That sort of thing is an adjustment for everybody. The question, I think, for me, the bigger question for me is, like, where Russell Wilson's year goes. And Russell, you know, has spent the last few years wanting the Seahawks to use him a different way. And he always felt like, I can be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning back there as sort of a field general. And a lot of the friction between he and the Seahawks was that the Seahawks didn't think that he could be that guy. And so they kept playing them where they played him. They let him do that a little bit under Brian Schottenheimer. It didn't really work. And so now you're seeing him doing some more of that stuff. And I think as a result, it's going to take the Broncos a while to figure out who they are offensively. So I think the key is going to be, what does Russell Wilson look like in week 12, week 14, week 16 versus what he looks like right now? And I think that adjustment, I mean, to be honest with you, that adjustment's one big reason why when I was doing my picks before the year, the Broncos were the one team in the AFC West that didn't have making the playoffs.
Albert, I can't believe I have to ask you this, but I've heard a few people on this station, guests, say otherwise. Is Deshaun Watson elite?
Yeah, he is. And I would say, like, I think, you know, all the stuff off the field aside, you can't, it's hard to move all the stuff off the field aside, right? But if you're just looking at him as a player, you know, I look at the way he played in 2020 when everything was kind of burning down around him. And then you look at the way he played before that, and years before that. You look at where the Texans were, where they had the Chiefs on the ropes in the AFC divisional round, the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And yes, they blew that lead, but they were that close to knocking off a team that eventually wound up winning the Super Bowl. I think we have enough evidence to know that Deshaun's the type of player who can put a team on his back. And he's got high-level experience winning on huge stages. And we saw it in college. We've seen him win playoff games in the pros. And so, like, I think we're gonna be reminded when he comes back of just how good the guy is. And the great thing for Cleveland right now is that the run game keeps rolling the way that it's rolling, and if the defense can round into shape and play a little bit better than it has over the first 3 weeks of the season, Deshaun won't have to carry the team, which is an ideal situation for a quarterback to come into, especially when he's gonna be coming in after, you know, not having played a game in almost 2 years.
All right, I got one more for you real quick. Dusty and I were both out yesterday, and we found out we're different kinds of sick people. What kind of sick person is Albert Breer?
I don't want anyone to know I'm sick.
Okay.
So does that mean
which is like, which I guess like post-COVID is a really bad thing. But, I mean, like, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I took a sick day. I'll put it that way to you guys. I mean, a part of it is,
well, I just took, like, two.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, like, I don't know. I've always, like, sort of pushed through those things. And maybe it's like, just like the sicko competitiveness in me that always feels like I'm going to miss something. But yeah, I don't want people to know I'm sick when I'm sick. And I guess, like, if I was in a situation where I was sick on like when I was traveling or going to a game or something now, like if that happened, you know, maybe I would have to be a little bit more open about it than I have been in the past. But more or less, I usually try to hide the fact that I'm sick.
Albert,
is that bad now, by the way?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I'm pretty stubborn about it as well. Great stuff, yeah. Buddy. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.